I was wondering what you thought about the chance of the Liberals winning the next election in Canada.
Everyone would like to make an educated guess on that because it would only be a guess. However, public polls do indicate that the Conservatives stand first in popularity.
At present,
and I think they would receive the larger share of votes. Mm-hmm. One difficulty is, however, much as Premier Trudeau is criticized and disliked, his ability and his strength are widely recognized, and the Liberals are not sure that they could provide another leader who would give as strong and effective leadership as he would give. Mm-hmm. Although everyone anticipates that he will retire, ought to retire, and perhaps the majority hope that he will, but they're not sure who they'd put in his place.
Uh-huh. Do the Conservatives have any effective leaders that are likely to be good candidates for Prime Minister?
Well, of course, the leader of the opposition in the Canadian Parliament occupies a position for which there's no comparable place in the American system. If the Conservative Party won the election, automatically Joe Clark, the leader, would become the Prime Minister.
Uh-huh.
And of course, if his party were sufficiently dissatisfied with him to appoint a new leader in his place before the election took place, well then, of course, if the party won, that leader would become Prime Minister. But unless he were replaced ahead of time as leader, he would automatically become Prime Minister.
Oh, I see.
With the approval, of course, of the Governor General, but that's really automatic if his party wins the majority.
Uh-huh. And he's still currently the leader of the opposition.
Yes, and he has conducted himself pretty effectively during the past months when he has been leader of the opposition. Mm-hmm. You may not be aware that he was Prime Minister for
yes.
a few months.
And he was soundly defeated after doing some unpopular things.
Well, that is true, although the present government has had to resort pretty much to the same program mm-hmm. that the Conservative Party were rejected for.
Mm-hmm. Do you think then that his past actions have been vindicated in the eyes of the voters?
He's a good debater. He can criticize the government very eloquently. He's a very capable speaker when it comes to phrasing his thoughts. Very wisely, perhaps, he has confined himself to criticizing strongly the glaring weaknesses of the Liberal Party and their failure to bring the country out of its depression. But he also, wisely or not, has offered very little alternate program.
Mm.
Perhaps he'd like to be elected first and then suggest his program
uh-huh.
afterward. That's a good political strategy on the part of any opposition that seeks to replace the government.
But after he had a chance at Prime Minister and then was defeated, do you think that's a disadvantage for his party in the event of an election at this time?
I don't think so. I don't think that the performance of the Conservative Party in the short time they were in power was sufficiently unsatisfactory that would militate against their re-election. A lot of people, knowing that Joe Clark was the youngest leader of a party to be elected Prime Minister, and felt that maybe he wasn't sufficiently experienced, perhaps he hadn't sufficiently outstanding ability to become a really successful Prime Minister, I think his stock has risen. Although, like every other party, they would like to find some messiah that could lead them out of the wilderness. But at the present moment, I doubt if there's anyone available in the Conservative Party that could do a better job, even though people may not be too confident that he will do the job they want done.
Uh-huh. Well, if Trudeau retires, who is going to take over leadership of the Liberal Party.
I suppose there are a dozen prospects who would like to be considered, and it's difficult to say that there is any front runner at the present time. Mr. Turner at one time would have been almost automatically selected as leader of the party, but he's been a lawyer out of government for quite a long time, and the charisma that he possessed is no longer being presented to the public, and nobody is quite sure what his political policy would be, and I don't think his stock stands high enough that he would be confident of any automatic selection as leader.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the Liberals are going to have to come up with a clear leadership alternative before they're going to be in a very good position to win an election.
You may be quite right. A great deal depends, of course, on how good a picture can be presented and how wisely the cause which they present can be promoted and defended by the opposition to see who will be elected. Trouble is, nobody really can prove to the country that he would be a good prime minister until he's had a chance to do the job. Mm-hmm. So they have to take a chance on anyone who can win the votes and win the favor of his party.
Well, how does this work now? When the supposed election is called, is the new prime minister going to be determined by the number of people elected to parliament from each party?
That's pretty much the way it's done in Canada. The leader is known as the leader of the party, and the party which secures the largest number of successful candidates, not necessarily the largest number of votes, but who succeeds in electing the largest number of MPs. That party is almost sure to assume power, and automatically the leader becomes the prime minister. There will be cases, however, where perhaps two parties will decide to unite, and by combining forces they will have a majority which will exclude from power some single party which did have the largest number of votes. That's happened in a number of European countries, and it has happened a time or two for a short time in Canada, but not likely to occur.
So was Joe Clark's government a minority government in that nobody had a clear majority in Parliament?
He was leader of a minority group. At any time that the Liberals and the NDP were prepared to vote together to throw him out, they could do so. But it's not very often that parties deliberately throw somebody out of power, because it may mean an election soon after a previous election, when a country is tired of elections, when the party doesn't have enough money to finance a good campaign, and they're usually pretty careful about ganging up on a government and to throw them out. They threaten it, of course, but they don't do it. What happened the last time was that Joe Clark's party were so confident of support for a certain policy they were presenting that they were caught off guard when there wasn't enough of their people in Parliament to vote ahead of the other party, and they were voted down almost on a fluke, and a new election had to be called.
If Trudeau decides to resign, what will happen next? If he did resign, would his party first select a new leader before a new election would take place?
Oh yes, undoubtedly, if he resigned as leader, they would call a new party convention as soon as they could prior to any election, and try to get their man groomed for the position, get him before the public, present him in a favorable light, build him up in the media, try to support him with the policy that would win the support of the country, and so on.
Is there any requirement for a new election when a prime minister resigns?
Well, and sometimes, if a man resigns under certain conditions, and there is a strong opposition as an alternative, waiting and perhaps considered competent to assume power, the Governor General can say, no, I will not consent to an election. The opposition will have to take over as the government. Now, it has happened a time or two in Canadian history in special circumstances. It's very unlikely to happen, and unless there was a party which had within very few men as many as the leading party that has been in power and could show that they probably could enjoy majority support of the voters in Parliament with the assistance of other parties, the Governor General might decline to call an election, especially if only a short period had elapsed since there had been an election. In the United States, there has to be a presidential election every 4 years. Mm-hmm. In Canada, the period of...
It's the Governor General's decision whether or not a new election must be held when a prime minister resigns.
Yes, he has that authority.
And normally he would call a new election?
Yes, almost automatically.
Within how long a period of time would the party in power have to select a new leader and get ready for the election?
Well, sometimes the other party assumes authority within a few days.
Hmm.
And
they already have a leader in position.
Yes, he takes over.
Mm-hmm.
But almost always there would be an election called within 2 or 3 months.
I see. So, at least temporarily, the party in power will lose its power when the prime minister resigns. They can't just put in a new party leader and have him take over as prime minister.
I think that could be done if there was somebody suitable for the occasion, for the position. If a prime minister resign for personal reasons instead of by political defeat.
Mm-hmm.
If he resigns because he's voted out, well, that's good. Mm-hmm.
A that. Vote of no confidence.
Yes, that's right. Hmm.
Who is the current Governor General of Canada? I mean, is that the right term?
Yes, that's right. The Governor General of Canada. Who is the present Governor General of Canada? Not Leger. He's the former Premier of Manitoba.
Yes.
Isn't that awful?
Sure. Starts with S.
I gather he's generally a figurehead.
He's nice. Right. Yeah, he seems like a nice guy.
Oh, yes, he is a nice fellow. Very interesting that he was leader of an NDP, which was a leftist government.
Hmm.
And I think when Mr. Trudeau selected him, it was a pretty good political ploy. It showed that he wasn't confining his choice to people who had certain rightist leanings. But a Governor General has to be extremely careful about not taking any political position, and he speaks in generalities. He opens new buildings and makes nice speeches which talk about patriotism and good citizenship.
He's supposed to be basically nonpartisan?
Yes, very much so. Yes, the Governor General must be nonpartisan.
And is he always selected by the Prime Minister in power?
Apparently so, yes. Presumably after pretty careful discussion with the cabinet.
Does the cabinet vote on the nominated person?
Well, I don't. You often don't know what happens in a cabinet because it's not public. They might have a very fiery debate, but I imagine that it would be a matter of somebody accepted as a suitable candidate rather than taking a vote for it.
The citizens learn who their new Governor General will be by an announcement from the Prime Minister.
Yes, that's
he appoints
right.
the.
That's right. They've usually been pretty good men, always, I would say.
And there's no requirement for any sort of confirmation by Parliament or any?
No, they don't. Parliament doesn't have to approve the appointment, as far as I recall.
Is there any requirement for meetings of the cabinet to be made public under any circumstances?
I would say no, they're never open to the public. The public isn't admitted to the infighting and the debate that takes place inside the cabinet. It's only when they make a decision that and that's publicized. Sometimes they'll be within sight of a decision and they will say no policy has been determined. Maybe 2 days later, one will be publicized.
What do you anticipate will be the main, the chief issues debated in the next election?
Well, certainly interest rates will be one of them. The public seems to be convinced that high interest rates have done more to destroy the economic well-being of the nation than anything else. Governments have stood by high interest rates because they say that the only way we can prevent money flooding across the border for investment in the United States from Canada is to keep our interest returns comparable with what they are in the United States, and we can't hope for any significant fall in interest rates in Canada until they go down in the United States, because we can't afford to see the dollar fall precipitately, and we can't afford to have too much capital sorely needed for investment in Canada escape across the border for investment there. There are other people of economic wisdom, and one of them is Walter Gordon, who was for a time the Minister of Finance in the former government, who firmly believes that lower interest rates are so important for the nation's recovery that we ought to lower them. We ought to take our bumps as far as the dollar falling and as far as complications of losing money for the United States for investment, that we would be wiser to face the music and lower interest rates and give the economic system a chance to recover itself. There are a lot of men of good judgment who believe that, but that apparently is not the point of view of those who are in power.
What other issues are likely to be hot issues?
Well, the tremendous size of the Canadian deficit is a constant source of embarrassment.
The national debt?
Yes. You see, not only the national debt, but this year's deficit. Now, the American deficit will run over $100 billion this year. It might reach $150 billion. Well, when you realize that the American population is 10 times that of Canada, you can see where a projected deficit this year of $19 billion is a a tremendous deficit for Canada.
19 billion?
19 billion is what they are, maybe 19 and a half billion is what the anticipated deficit will be. And all leaders, of course, and all cabinets, and all ministers of finance talk about lowering the deficit and eventually perhaps even balancing the budget, although it hardly ever happens, and presently there's no possibility of it.
Has there been a move to lower taxes in Canada?
Some taxes are being lowered a bit. The present effort of the government, the Minister of Finance, of the government, is to reduce inflation. The conviction has been that until we can bring inflation down, there's really no hope of restoring the economic welfare of the country. So that has been a major emphasis of the government, and on that account they have watched very carefully what interest rates were in the United States. They have been careful to see that the amount of money available in Canada for business doesn't exceed the amount which can be invested and spent without boosting prices and further inflation, so that they have put the conquest of inflation ahead of any effort to get business booming again.
So, and there's no movement towards lowering taxes on a national basis. The income taxes, for instance, are going to be the same?
There's been no effort to do that. Actually, the present emphasis is in control of wages more than anything else. The Dominion government, federal government, employs about 500,000 employees over whose salaries it exercises, of course, authority. And they have presented a policy which is yet to be passed by the Parliament, but probably will be, that wages of people employed by the federal government shall not exceed 6% next year in 83, nor 5% increase in 84. And they are urging the provinces to follow their lead in that respect. Nova Scotia is the only province so far that has deliberately declared that it would do so and adopt the 6% and 5% limit. But the Prime Minister has said, we make an enormous amount number of grants to assist business and to assist cities and municipalities in providing jobs. And we bail out sometimes by government generosity, by loans, very important corporations which may be seriously in debt. Dome Petroleum is in perhaps $6 billion in debt, and the government recently authorized a loan to them of $100 million. But the Prime Minister is saying, our generosity in helping where help is needed will be dependent upon the degree to which they adhere to the policy of restraint. We're not going to give handouts to a company which insists on increasing its wages beyond our limit. Now, I was saying to my wife today that the real test of the government's will to reduce extravagant increases in costs and wages will be what it does with the request of the Bell telephone for a 25% increase. Mm-hmm. And we have a similar request for a big increase from the hydro. Well,
is Bell Telephone a private or public agency in Canada?
They,
you can see it better.
They are, in a sense, monopolies whose price structure cannot be changed without the consent of committees appointed by government to supervise it, to study it.
So they're a regulated industry.
Yes. So if the government buckles down and gives them what they ask for, it pretty nearly knocks the bottom out of their effort to restrain undue expenditure of the places. I'm hoping that they will say to Bell Telephone, you can have the 6%, the 5%, but you'll have to stay within the guidelines.
Do you think that economic issues will be the dominant issues in the election?
Oh, undoubtedly, because the economic problem is the major problem confronting the country.
Uh-huh.
Government has acted as if inflation were the major problem. Of course, that is an economic problem. But you see, bankruptcies have skyrocketed, mm-hmm. perhaps doubled. Companies are near the line. They're fighting to keep afloat. And not just little companies that don't matter, but some big companies too. And they're laying off employees, so that the unemployment rate is now about 1,200,000 in Canada, which is very high. Never has been as high before. So that no question about it, the government, which whoever will win the next election, will have to have plausible policies which really indicate that they are prepared confidently to tackle.